Hallelujah. We'll just do a little brief recap, okay? We're talking about faith advanced, the reality of our faith, the reality being the quality of being lifelike and resembling the original, having existence or substance, and we're Christ being manifested on this earth. You know, so he says in his word that faith is the substance of things we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. But the word of God says also in Hebrews 11, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For they that come to God must believe that he is God, and he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So we looked at, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we're advancing our faith, amen, it's by the word. Then we talked about the faith, it's to redeem us, that Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He delivered us from darkness to light, from bondage to deliverance, from Satan to God, from the curse to blessing. We were guilty and he made us innocent. Amen. Then we talked about to regenerate. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We talked about being regenerated, renewed, restored, recreated in Christ Jesus. Then we looked at to reunite us, 1 John 1:3, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is our testimony that we continue and that we're in fellowship with one another. And last week, we spoke about to represent, Acts 4:33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. We looked at power to tread, power to speak, power to discern, power to rebuke, power to witness, power to heal, power to preach, power to strengthen, power to assure, and power to overcome. Ephesians 1:19 says that what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. And tonight we want to go to reside. You know, the writer in Acts 17, it says that in him we live and move and have our being. Amen. I'm kind of interested. I love the way the psalmist writes it in Psalms 91. One, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and him will I trust. Tonight, we're talking about as we're walking and we're living and we're acting in faith, we reside in it. Amen? It's something that we live by faith. We just don't walk by faith, but we live. In him we live and move. Amen. So tonight, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll begin to read with verse number 14. When you're there, say amen. Verse number 14 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And what concord have Christ with Belial or the devil? Or what part have he that believeth with an infidel or a non-believer? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. One of the things the Father was speaking to me about as I was studying this week for tonight, he says, we're in separation, not segregation. separation, not segregation. Amen? We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And we're not to segregate ourselves where we're not reaching the world. Amen? God's called us to live amongst them, but to live amongst this world differently. Amen? He didn't tell us to go live on an island somewhere. I bet you John would love to got off the Isle of Patmos, you know, even though he spent a lot of time in Revelation. You know, so God didn't call us to, he wants to remind us that we're in him and he's in us, but we're in this world to make a difference. We're his representatives to a lost and dying world. Amen? So as we look at that tonight, look with me in 2 John, verse number, 2 John. Just go to 2 John. We're separated from. You know, he tells us, be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. In other words, just because I'm in this world, I'm not of this world. I have to remind myself, and we have to remind ourselves who we are in Christ. And the apostle John says in 2 John, verse number 8, he says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he have both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Now, what I'm not receiving in his house is not the individual, but I'm not receiving the word. I'm going to have, at Christmas time, I'm going to have unbelievers that are going to come to my house. Amen? But I'm going to let my light so shine before men that they may see my good works and give the Father in heaven all the glory. I'm going to look for opportunities to share the love of Jesus. Amen? So when we're looking at this, I have one point that I've made before and I'll make it again. If a Jehovah's Witness comes and knocks on your door, don't let them in. Because he knows enough to confuse you. Hello? You wave your head no, but they know enough to confuse you. They've studied to confuse. Amen? Praise God. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. How many know that the adversary is the artist of confusion? And what does the Bible say about confusion? In the midst of confusion, there's every evil work. Okay? So the first thing the adversary always wants to do is to bring some confusion. You know, one of the things that we need to understand is the adversary cannot steal from us what we have understanding and what we know. But what we think we know, he can confuse us on. Amen? That's why the Word of God tells us to study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Amen? So as we're looking at this and we're delving into God's Word, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 1. He says, we're delivered from this world. He says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord directs your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which you have received. For ye yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we have believed not ourselves, behaved not ourselves, disorderly among you. In other words, be careful who you're following. You know, the old children's game, follow the leader. Amen? And sometimes some people are pretty strong-willed and can lead you down the wrong path and in the wrong direction. We're reminded that we're following him by his word. Amen? Amen? And if it doesn't align with the word, it isn't him. So turn me to Ephesians chapter 5. We're talking about operating and walking in faith. We're residing in him. In him we live and we move and we have our being. He tells us to withdraw from some things. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 6, he says this to us. He says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In other words, we're not winking at those things. And when we reprove somebody, you have to understand that it has to be ministered in love. Love is what will cover a multitude of sins. Amen? Sometimes we want to beat people up for their sin. And sometimes our vision for others is 2020, but our vision for ourselves is blurred. Hallelujah. Amen. So in other words, as we're moving in this and we're looking at, hey, we're residing, we're living, we're walking. So look with me in 2 Corinthians 5. You and I are declared to be righteous. Amen? The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he have made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Amen? It's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness. We're righteous in him. So what happens with this righteousness? It happens by what we confess, our confession. Amen? 1 John verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Unconfessed is possessed. Hello? You know, that's why he tells us to confess our faults one to another. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I'm jumping ahead of myself. Slow down, Carl. Back up here. So it comes by our confession. Look with me in Romans chapter 5. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is what we're looking at, God's word. We're trusting him. The word of God says in Romans 5:19, it says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin have reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, in other words, God wants you and I to remember and to remind ourselves that we're the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What does he say? My righteousness was like filthy rags, but now I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I put on the robe of his righteousness. I'm abiding and I'm living in him. I remember what we said. In him we live and move and have our being. Amen? Amen? Are you with me? We're residing. Look with me in 1 John chapter 3. Verse 7. Let's go start with verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him, in him we live, we move, and have our being. All right? Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth have not seen him, neither known him. And this is just blatant sin. This isn't boo-boo. This is premeditated. There's one thing if I mess up. When I mess up, I fess up. But there's another one, no, when I know something's wrong and I just do it anyway. Amen? He said, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For the purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. And this, the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Man, not only did he talk about walking in righteousness if we weren't doing righteousness, then he tagged it at the end, even him that doesn't love his brother. In other words, God says if you don't love your neighbor, you don't love him. Wow. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Does anybody have somebody that really gets on your nerves? Nah. Have you had someone that's really done you wrong? Do you think they did him wrong? Come on. What did he say from the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. Remember, we as the body of Christ got to constantly remind ourselves we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle is not with people. God wants us to love them anyway. I'm loving the sinner. I'm not loving the sin. I'm speaking against, when I'm praying for the individual, I'm not praying about them. I'm praying what has a hold of them. Amen. Amen. I'm binding the works of the adversary. I'm binding the works of darkness. Amen. Amen. Remember what God wants us to remind us tonight, that we're separated, we're not segregated. Amen. And we ain't going to reach anybody from in here. In other words, if we don't take what we get out, the world ain't going to come looking for it. Amen. We take it to them. Hallelujah. Is anybody here? Amen. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Our righteousness opens heaven. And 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 17. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. 1 Peter, that's why I couldn't find him in the wrong book. 1 Peter. I said, man, that scripture ain't lining up. What's up with that? I can't imagine a mistake. Verse number 12. We have an open heaven, remember? For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Amen. In other words, God wants you and I to understand that his eyes are open and he sees every last thing his children are going through. There is nothing that has escaped his notice. Not only does he have open eyes, but he has open ears. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to James 5. James 5 says this. He said, confess your faults one to another in verse 16 and pray for one another that you may be healed. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The fervent, effective. In other words, your prayer has an effect. Amen. I met with with the Karen and Larry the other night, Monday night. Met him in near Winchester. And one of the things that the Lord just laid in my heart, he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And what the Lord is speaking to my heart about is most of the times when we pray, we have, if you want to, Lord, or not. Well, his word says he wants to. So we pray in faith, believing. And we speak those words. We continually speak those words. We don't use an avenue to go, oh, Lord, do this in case you don't want to. That's okay. You just told him you didn't want it. What were you going to say?
Most people say that.
Right.
If it's your will.
If it's your will.
It
my faith when they do that. That's right. Right. Because if you're in his word, you know his will. What is his will? He's not willing that any should perish. Well, how do you perish? From sickness and disease. Amen? Amen? That but all would come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In other words, God wants us to be a place that believes God and his word. And when faith arrives and we move and we act and we walk in this faith, there's things that will fall off of people. People will heal, to be restored, to be set free. Amen? Because half the time, if you pray one thing and you're saying it two different ways, the Lord says, well, you haven't decided what you want. You know? You hear me? So look with me in 1 John chapter 2. Verse number 28. That is, we're righteous to do righteousness. Amen. He says in verse 28, he said, now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If we know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Hello? So when we're saying, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, to give your Father all the glory in heaven, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, temperance, meekness, and faith. As we're acting in them, the fruit of the Spirit is being manifested in the world. And what God wanted to get in the hearts tonight is even though we reside in him we live, we move, and we have our being, amen, that we're separated unto him, but we're not segregated from this world. God's called us to reach this world with the love of God, amen? And he is long-suffering, amen? Not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance, amen? Any questions? Any thoughts? We have the righteousness of him. You know, people, sometimes they misunderstand that sometimes. If it's no longer I that's living, but Christ that's living in me, righteousness is living in me. He's righteous. So when he's being manifested through my life, righteousness is being manifested. And I don't, you know, each and every one of us have been sealed with the Spirit of promise, and we have the Holy Spirit as his children. And everyone in the room knows when we do wrong. Hello? And if God doesn't kick us to the curb because we mess up. He loves us. He's trying to help us to live wealthy, wise, and whole. Amen? You know, the children of Israel traveled through the wilderness for 40 years and there wasn't one sick among them. Hello? Amen? Yeah, they had that Velcro that stretched or whatever that stuff is. They wore robes, right? Hallelujah. Amen? So what is God saying to us tonight? He's saying simply this. We're righteous to do righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody got everything? You get your blanks filled in? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. I was quick mouthed tonight. Hallelujah.